How many of you know that harvest season is right around the corner? The farmers are there. I know that our two big farming families are like, yeah, it's coming. It'll be crazy, right? Like, it'll be nonstop, just go, go, go for a season. We call it a season of the harvest season, right? So thank you. I want to thank the John and Abby Mickle for providing our crops here. We've got some corn and we've got some cabbage, and I'm going to actually lean on him just a little bit here. He's a way smarter farmer than I am, and so I thought you'd laugh on that, but that's okay. So I want to trust his wisdom when it comes to farming. But one thing I do know about a farmer is that, that's a tall stalk of corn. I think it's a ceiling almost, but pay attention, Andy. And that is that when you're growing corn or you're growing, and we got cabbage here as well, in case anybody likes to eat it raw. But anyways, probably not. It starts from a seed, right? And so you've got to plant that seed, and you want to plant that seed into some good soil. And of course, there's a great parable in the scripture, the parable of the sower, but we're not actually going to actually use that today. We're going to take a little different route. But when you plant that, you want to plant that in some good soil, and you know that you need to sow it, right? So that seed has a good chance of not just surviving, but actually growing healthy and being productive. Because you want to get a good, piece of corn off that. You can sink, if you've got sweet corn, you can just sink your teeth into that, right? And get this corn stuck in between your teeth. Somebody else have fun with that? I know I do. And a good farmer knows that he or she has to make some wise choices throughout the season, from preparing the soil and sowing and just kind of watching and waiting and then reaping that harvest, and with the land as well, which we'll get to later in this new series we're starting called A Healthy Harvest, and which is actually, we're going to take a look at the concept of a harvest within ourselves. So the Bible talks about a harvest of souls, right, which is sharing the gospel and people coming to faith in Christ and the kingdom growing, which is absolutely 100% true. But we can also take that same analogy and use it within ourselves and talk about a healthy harvest within ourselves. That God created us to be healthy, to take care of ourselves, the whole of our lives. And there's a rhythm of that we'll see in Scripture, but can also apply to our personal lives. And so I want to kind of walk that line, and we're going to use farming throughout this whole series. So it should be, I think it's going to be lots of fun. I've enjoyed trying to get ready for this and think outside the box for it. So one of the things that I know that a good farmer, a wise farmer, is wanting to do is to make sure that when you put that seed into the ground, that not only do you have nourishment in the ground, but you've got to put some water to go with it. That water is critical to that growth process. And if you don't give the seed and the plant as it's growing the water that it needs, it has rather drastic impact. And so what we did, I'll show you a picture here of a piece of corn on the far right was planted earlier in the season when there was the heat wasn't super high and that wasn't super dry, and so the plant was able, it wasn't stressed really bad, so it was able to get off and get growing and grow healthy, and you can see all the kernels that are on that ear of corn. Now you see the other ones that look like something just ate off all the corn. So those are ears of corn, I'm told here, that were planted in the high heat and not a good amount of water. So when the plant was pollinating, it was so stressed that it wasn't able to pollinate as it really needed to. And so the result of that was that it didn't really produce the kernels like it would normally do in a healthy season. When we stress our lives with things that are not healthy for us and that take away from our nourishment, it has a negative impact on the fruit that our lives bear in the world. That'll preach, right? So that's why I thought I'd use that. Did I get some of that right? Okay, very good, very good. I was nervous because I was eyeballing. I'm looking, are they, I just watching the eyes. Okay. So, all right. So a farmer wants to make sure the best he can, or she can, that it's getting good water, good nutrients being poured onto that seed and give it a good shot at growing up and having a really good, healthy harvest, which seems like common sense. What I think maybe happens in our personal lives is that we don't see that same analogy applying to us, but truly it does. And so I think when we think about life-giving nourishment, we need to pour water. It'd be a mess if I poured water over this morning. But physically, eating well. Make sure we get plenty to drink of water, right? I ran 11 miles yesterday, training for the Evansville Half Marathon. And I'm not bragging, this is my sort of personal illustration here. And I wanted to try something out, though, because I knew I had 11 miles, and if you ever run 11 miles, it taxes your body. And when you do that, you really need to have the right kind of nutrition in your body for fuel, and you need to be hydrated. If you wait till you get out there and you start sweating, you're like, I think I probably should have been drinking some water and some electrolytes, get some salt in there, because you're going to lose that. You're behind the eight ball. You might as well just quit because it's going to be absolutely miserable for you. And I thought, so a few days leading up, I paid attention to what I was eating. And I thought, I want to make sure that I get a balance of proteins and carbs and good healthy fats, vegetables and fiber, that's always fun. And so I wanted to make sure I was getting that with water and getting my salt levels up. And so building that up, right, building up that base. And then when I went out, I made sure that I had the right nutrition and hydration on me when I went out running. It took me about an hour and 45 minutes or so to go out and do that in the morning. And I sweat a lot, but I tell you, I felt so much better. Because several weeks ago, I had done a similar thing when I went out and did 10 miles, and I didn't pay attention to what I had put in my body and what I had get enough water ahead of time. And so when I was out there, I got midway through, and I felt like I just hit a wall. My body just said, dude, sorry, you need to be done. And I was like, but dude, I've got 5 more miles to go. I'm not done. I learned that it makes a difference. Your body functions better, and you have a healthier state of mind when you eat and drink properly. Spiritually, same thing applies. Spending time taking in God's word, spending time in prayer, spending time resting in the Lord, worshiping, being a part of a small group, serving somewhere, serving others, and the list can go on and on, right? Giving, we can just add on that list. So many things we could talk about. When we add that into the rhythm of our lives, it's a life-giving nourishment into our spirit. The Lord, by the Holy Spirit, grows us in Christ by having that healthy rhythm in our lives. If we don't ever take time to pray, if we don't ever take time to sit down in the Word, if we really say, church is not a huge deal for me, I just don't really need to do that, I don't need that in my life very much at all, I don't really need to be giving, I don't really need to, I'm just, after a while, instead of being here, but healthier, you end up over here where you start to dry out. And you start to become a bit more vulnerable to some unhealthy influences. I know I'm going to make that fall before today. I think the same thing can be said in our relationships. If we don't take the time to listen, to understand what people are feeling and what they're trying to say to us, in our friendships and our marriages and our relationships with our families, that takes a toll, doesn't it? You grow apart. You start being concerned more with yourself and not your partner. You start to become less empathetic, to be aware of how other people around you are feeling and what they might be thinking and what they're going through in a certain situation, that maybe because of what just happened in their life. And it could be your partner, your spouse. It could be a friend. It could be somebody at work, maybe you work with all the time. Who knows? Somebody else at church. And when you stop being empathetic to how others might be feeling, what they're going through, my experience is that it tends to pull you back from being sympathetic, right? Because sympathetic is acting on empathy. And if you stop being concerned and aware of how people are feeling around you, then you, because you tend to become then more self-focused, you'll tend to then also stop helping other people around you as well, because you're not aware of what the needs are around you. And that's a real fine kind of line, and that's like walking, anyways, we won't get into all that. But it makes a difference that we listen and have empathy and choose to be sympathetic intellectually. You ever heard, you can't teach an old dog new tricks? Well, 46 30 days, I feel like an aging dog. And you don't need to say a word. I'm just telling you right now. But it is true that it does keep the mind sharper when you try to keep learning. Engage the mind, right? Simple things even. But to keep using what God gave you. You had to just figure out what that is for you, right? Maybe it's crossword puzzles. Maybe it's reading a book. Maybe it's learning a new hobby. I don't know, right? I've gotten into trying to learn about running and some of the more minutiae, but also trail running and trying to just stay in on that, right? Learning the guitar, learning to play the drums, and however many instruments you now are up to playing, Gavin, you know, that sense of just keep learning, plus learn about farming, plus learning and schooling, right? And everything else going on. Just a for example, right? Intellectually, relationally, spiritually, physically, keep pouring things that are nourishing into your life. Which then leads to the other side of the conversation, which is to be watchful for the things that are not helpful, those unhealthy influences. So, John, can I borrow you? He's going to do much better at this than I am, you know? So, all right, come up here, buddy. I got to get you a microphone. I'm going to let you do this. All right, here, you got one? All right. All right, so you just stand here, unless you're like standing in a cornfield behind it and you want to look through it. But either way, the one thing I do know is that there are invasive species that will harm crops, right? And there are different areas. It can be insects. It can be fungus. There's a couple. Talk about what we have here. And if you would put the slide up, and so I'll let you talk on that as well, just for a moment to kind of help explain what we've got here, and then I'll kind of unpack that on my end.
Okay, so and like Andy said,
I'll be your Vanna.
We've done everything right. We've worked with our placement. We've done fertility. We're getting here in late summer. We need water, so that's critical. We also have to be watchful of diseases. So like the picture shows, southern rust compared to a healthy plant. This plant here, you know, it has a lot of leaf diseases compared to the other one. This one has two ears versus that one that has one ear. Disease could come in and completely prevent the kernels from filling out. It could easily take 50 bushels of yield, 25%. Of the yield potential right off the top. You know, that's late season. That's something that we have to be watchful for. And we can manage that too. So it's every year is different. You know, environmental conditions, diseases coming out of the south, stuff that may overwinter in residue. You just have to be watchful.
So tell me about this little guy. So cute, but not really.
Yeah. Abby picked that one. I don't really know what the history on that one was. So what I was telling Andy the other day, you know, you have to surround yourself in a good position. You know, this plant was likely planted away from others, maybe in some compacted soil. It didn't have the root growth to support a healthy, viable plant. It didn't have the fertility. The weeds came in. If you don't have a solid canopy, you know, a good crop around you as Christians and as people, it's going to allow weeds to come in. It's going to allow weeds to take over. And at the end of the day, the weeds will smother it out, pull it to the ground. It won't be even harvestable. You know, it's a complete loss.
So now we have some cabbage. And we have two different examples here. So which one seems healthier to you? What's the difference between these two?
So that would be insect pressure. The worms just absolutely got in here, burrowed in, ate through layers and layers. You could salvage some of it, but most of that's just going to go into the compost pile.
It's cabbage. I wouldn't salvage any of it.
Yeah.
But if you like that, please go for it. It wouldn't be my cup of tea, but that's okay. That is fantastic. That is good stuff, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. Tell him thanks, guys. Now, some of you might see where this is going, and that's good. So we always have the threat of invasives, right? Things that can are unhealthy influencers in what otherwise would be a good harvest of personal growth, right, inside of us in our lives. We think spiritually, physically, intellectually, in our relationships, like all of that matters. And so we have to pay attention to the things that are unhealthy and want to impact us, of course, in negative ways. And I guess that could be culture that may not be trying to, but that could also be evil temptations that, yes, are trying to. And if you're with us a couple weeks ago, we were sort of talking about this from the book of James. And so I just want to briefly bring this in because it super applies to this moment. And that is, how do we think about this? How do we respond to this? And I think the Apostle Peter sets a good tone for us. And it's in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. And he starts out by saying, be clear-headed, keep alert. So, pause. Not getting so wrapped up in yourselves and what's happening all around you that you are not sober-minded to be able to be clear about what's happening and what's speaking into your life. So, for example, the media content that we consume on a regular basis, being alert, clear-headed about what it is that we're watching and that we're listening to. Is this something that's really going to help me, or is it something that may be an unhealthy influence that if I keep consuming this over the long term, this is not going to be something good for me? Okay? You may have enough wisdom in the moment or an understanding, but yet say, I don't think, like, I'm strong enough. It doesn't really matter. But over time, you keep consuming that, and what you take in, right, tends to produce what comes out. You remember that term, GIGO? Garbage in, garbage out. Good in tends to bring good out, but if you tend to always put in garbage, then you tend to get more garbage coming out, right? That tends to be the rhythm there. The people that you have around you, the people that you, in your friend group, your network group, what are they bringing into your life? You say, well, I'm ministering to them. There's a difference between ministering to people who are struggling and have unhealthy influences and morals and values and ethics and having your friend base there in that same group. Do you see that there's a difference? So being clear-headed and alert of what you're allowing, even from the people around you, to speak into how you think, how you talk, how you respond to stuff that's happening around you and to you, right? You're at school, somebody says something to you like they'd said to somebody else. Well, that person responded in a particular way and they got attention. So guess what? That's how I need to respond. Well, not necessarily if that attention was not healthy and good. Then that's not how you want to respond. So you have to be alert of what's happening around you. Be clear-headed. Be sober-minded, as the scripture tells us. What about, let me get that, yeah, there we go. So what about self-criticism? this, oh, the, right, we've said it before, oh, the stories we say to ourselves. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not competent enough. I'm too old. I'm too young. Nobody's going to take me seriously. Maybe in 5 more years. What will they think of me if? They're not going to like me. The unhealthy thinking. Okay? What about eating and drinking too much? Having balance is important. Watching what we eat, watching what we drink, the things that we consume, just being clear-headed, being alert, being sober-minded, paying attention. This is something that is, in the long term, going to make me unhealthy, something that's not good for me. I need to be processing that, thinking through that, right? So balance. What about laziness? We're overextending ourselves. That's as much the epidemic of today as laziness. It's to overextend ourselves, and we're going in so many different directions at one time, we just don't have peace, and our schedule robs us of peace. Now, I get it. Some of that may be a season, and then that will come to an end, and life will change, and I get that. It just can't be the ongoing, forever rhythm of your life. It's not healthy. We weren't created for that. So be alert. Pay attention. Why? Man, here it is. Peter Gitt, he goes, because your accuser, the devil, is on the prowl like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. I think the devil is perhaps the most invasive, destructive influence in life. I don't think it's anything other than that. So, well, have you seen what methamphetamines do and opioids? Have you seen? Yeah, I get it. But I'm going to tell you what. The devil is the most invasive, comes out of nowhere sometimes, sneaks up on you, help to deceive in like a little decision. Ain't no big deal. And then the next time, I told you, it ain't that big a deal. And then the next time, like, you got this, you're good. And the next time. And it's a slow fade, you know, sometimes. That's just a way to do it. Talk about it with Eve. Man, you ain't going to die if you eat that fruit. You just know you're going to be more like God. And ain't that a good thing? Well, I mean, it sounds good, but God said don't. And so it's better that I obey the Lord than it is to rationalize out my own fleshly desires. Again, that'll preach. Trust and obey. There's no better way. I'm not going to sing that this morning for y'all. So what do you do? What do you do? Go to the next verse. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. So your health is connected to your faith. You say, well, they're two different things. Uh-uh, they're not. Your faith is an integrated part of your entire life, and that's what it's meant to be, that your faith would speak to every part of who you are as an individual. So we want to resist the enemy who would desire to lead us astray from what is good in every aspect of our lives, which I know you go, like, that's just, it's common sense. One of the things that we here at New Hope have put into place that we think is of great help for this conversation is Discipleship Pathway. So something you've seen before, if you are newer here, haven't been here for a while, this may be the first time you're seeing this, but this is our Discipleship Pathway, and some of you learn about at our Get to Know New Hope luncheon that we have periodically throughout the year, and we've got one coming up here shortly, September the 25th. But anyways, and so you'll notice that all four parts of this involve people. Sunday services involve who? worshipers coming together, right? Celebrating God, doing this together, praying, learning together, serving and sharing, serving in ministries, serving others in the community who are in need, sharing our faith, sharing food. I always love doing that. With the church and with others, being a part of a small group where you're able to be with folks that you're going to learn together and you're going to get to know one another, help one another, encourage each other in the faith. You're going to grow together. It's a fantastic environment for that. Help lead you in truth and wisdom, okay? And but then also a stable few, which is like accountability partners that are going to walk closely with you. And you're going to read the scriptures together, and you're going to pray together, and you're going to hold each other accountable together. And it's something you're going to be hearing more about here in the months coming. But in all four of these, what it does is it says the best version of you needs people around you. No matter how strong and smart and cunning you think you are, you need people around you to be your best. And that's what God created. That's why Adam and Eve are in the garden together. It's not good for man to be alone, so I will create a helpmate for him. You need people around you to be the best that God desires you to become. How many of you think that patience is your favorite virtue? A lot of laughs on that one. How about you, right, at home? Patience, your favorite? Yeah, probably not. One of the things that I admire about farmers is that they have to do a lot of waiting. There's a lot of working, but you don't harvest the corn until it's ready to be harvested. You don't go early, right? It needs to be just right. You know, the moisture content in there needs to be right. See, I've learned this from talking with John Bohr. We've had this conversation months ago, right? But if you wait too late, you miss your window. You got to hit it when the time is just right, don't you? Makes a difference. You want that good yield, don't you? So when you take it, because it impacts the yield, right? So I can't explain to you completely why. I just know that it does. Sometimes we want to be this great, tall, it's all good in life, and we're going, I want this in my life now. And we're wrestling because we're just growing up, and we know we've got stuff around us that's vying for our attention and our heart. Oh, listen. Vying for our thoughts. That's these weeds. And it's just intent to circle around and circle around and circle around. You know it's coming out the top. From the root to the top, from the bottom to the top, the weed seeks to what? Consume it. Like, come on now. The devil just seeking that little weakling. Not thinking, not being sober-minded, not being clear-headed, not being very alert at all. Just doing life, not even paying attention. And it's just subtly starts at the bottom and starts to come up the top. Now I could rip this vine off of here, but it's so intricately wrapped around, it's going to take me a little bit to do that. There's a spiritual connection there too. We wait upon the Lord to help us. But as it takes a while to undo the effects of that invasive choking out the life of this plant, it too takes a while to undo the effects of what we've taken in and taken in and taken in to get to a healthier place. You have to be patient. When you have a relationship that has been strained and you don't feel like neither one of you are doing a very good job at communicating, I love you, I care about you, that doesn't change overnight. It takes time. You don't grow your bank account overnight. It takes time. You invest, you invest, you invest. We wait upon the Lord that over time that we're going to grow and we're going to become healthier and healthier. I mean, hey, I get it, like when the Lord saves us and rebirths us into the kingdom, that's an instantaneous act of grace that God does in us, and not of our own merit, that's of the Lord. Yet I tend to see that in my own life and lives of others, the work of sanctifying grace that is growing us healthier and healthier in the character of Christ and the wisdom of God in our lives, that tends to be a progressive sort of ongoing for the rest of our days. It keeps developing and developing. But in our instantaneous culture, we have very much a lot of hook, line, sinker. Swallow the belief that I deserve it my way right now. And that's the same thing when it comes to God. Well, God, I've turned it around. I've repented. I know the truth. And so the Lord says, wonderful. Now let's take a journey. Let me get you healthy again. Or maybe healthy for the first time. Let's have some discussions about what you listen to. Let's have some discussions about what you watch. About what you look at on your phone. Let's have some discussions about the types of comments that you post on social media. Let's have some dialogue about how you talk to other people when you're frustrated with them. Here's one that hits me. Andy, let's talk about how you act when you get hangry. Good thing Leslie's teaching in the back today. I just got to say. Oh, heavens. Time for that work requires patience. And I know we don't like patience very much, but it does require patience. And God, every day, He said, let's walk and let's work together. You listen to me, I'm listening to you. And let's work on you. And the scripture tells us that he who rests in the Lord will lean into the Lord, that God will bring about a harvest of good in that person. The book of Ecclesiastes says that he has made everything beautiful in its time. God knows what he's doing. You have to have patience. You have to wait. But you also have to watch out. Because there are plenty of things in the world that don't want your best. But I promise you that God wants your best. And we have to embrace the seed of faith that is planted in us. Even when it's hard and it's a struggle to believe. You say, well, I never have that issue. It's just me waiting on God because he just don't ever seem to be fast enough for me. All right. So while you wait on God, while you wait for the harvest of the good, right, that keeps coming and coming, growing and growing and growing, watch out for what threatens the good. Pour life-giving nourishment on and into your life. Pay attention to the things that want to eat away slowly and slowly. Eat holes to rot, right? The vines that want to just slowly creep around. And I meant, if you ask the Lord, help me to understand the things in my life that need to be cleaned up, need to maybe be cut out, he'll tell you. And my experience has been that the hard part is saying, Lord, I believe you're right, and I've been wrong. And then to say, Lord, help me. I need your help. And then let him help you. He's stronger than we are. He's wiser than we are. He is more powerful than we are. He doesn't sleep when you go to bed. He watches over you. He protects you. He is a good, good God upon whom you can build your life upon. But you will have to be willing to say yes to what is good and no to what is bad. And that's what's hard, because at times we feel like we deserve whatever we want. Because by George, boy, that's old term. Man, I deserve it. I've worked hard. I need a little break. I need to feel good. I need to let loose. Woo! But to what cost? And who's glorified in that? You plant, you water, you watch over, and you wait. And I promise you, God will not disappoint, because he doesn't. You can reap a harvest if you don't give up on the Lord and his works in you and for your good. Because he truly is in the business of working for the good of those who love him, listen to him, learn from him, lean into him, and just love him with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. It's the best way to go. I think that's the wise farmer. Let's be wise. The Lord will help us every step of the way. Let's pray for that as our worship team comes today. Father, I know that these are just words, but words from Scripture and principles of life that you have put into motion, they work because they're from you. And so I ask that your Holy Spirit would help us to learn from them, lean on them, put them into practice. And if we make mistakes in the journey, help us to know that, turn from them, turn back to you, and that you would help us as you continue to do. Help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.